Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Hey, welcome in. It is Thursday, and we are raring to go here as we continue, and we'll get to some headlines. We have a couple of really interesting things for you in a few minutes about how others around the country are perceiving what we do here. I'm talking about the callers to the show in the aftermath of Monday night. Let's get right to some headlines. And Jameson Williams declaring for the draft. This was expected, even though some wondered, would the ACL injury change his thinking? He's a projected high pick. He's expected to recover in time for next season, but what happens after that? So the threat is here, the college football season. What happens next? Is it going to all work out? We'll talk to one of our featured guests in a few minutes about the future of the college football season, whether it's gotten too regional or not. We rather like it down here. And coaching carousel, is it over, or does Jim Harbaugh start it all over again? The Michigan job would be plum. Harbaugh expected to be wooed by a number of NFL clubs. Look at Sam the Bam Pittman. That's not really true, but he's the fan favorite for the Paul Bryan Award. He's got those shades. Pittman's going to make some money in the offseason after a spectacular year. Give him the cash. Let's talk about what we are going to do over these next few hours. A number of guests will be dropping in. Stephen A. Smith. Actually, that's not correct. It's Stephen M. Smith. The Mood in T-Town. Pete Thamel. Am I reading that correctly? ESPN college football reporter? I am reading that correctly because today it was announced that Pete is joining ESPN. Nikki Fargus, great coach, now analyst. She'll join us to talk about a huge day in the SEC. Ken Smithmeyer, the judgment man. And Peter Stoddard, the Georgia man. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's start with Hugh in Deep Gap, North Carolina.
Hello, Paul. Could we spend just a minute kind of thinking about where the future is going to, how it's going to play out for the greatest coach we've seen in the conference in many, many years? You know, a lot of guys like Adolph Rupp and Joe Paterno and Bear Bryant, they kind of hung on longer than they probably could have, should have, and the back end of their careers were not as brilliant as the midsection. And when you stop and kind of think about this, there's a quarter of a century difference in age between Kirby Smart, Lane Kiffin, and Nick Saban. I got a feeling Nick Saban's going to pull a John Wooden and go out on top. What do you think?
Well, I mean, everyone wants to. It's one of the hardest things in the world to do, as you know, Hugh, having watched a lot of coaches.
It's very difficult.
And it is a fact, after one of the championships, I think it was the one in 17, Saban contemplated leaving. I don't think he did it last year. And I think it's something you have. I mean, no matter who you are, when you're in a high-pressure environment, usually when the music stops and the lights are dimmed, you think, okay, what do I want to do? Do I want to keep doing this? And you don't know. I mean, we assume.
Well, a lot of it, Paul, has to do with when the process begins. And I for one, you know, I began to think about this. I can see long after Coach Saban's in his rocking chair clipping coupons, Kirby Smart, Lane Kiffin, and Lincoln Riley still in the mad hunt for national championships. So the bottom line for me is, if you're a dedicated Alabama fan, you better really appreciate what you got, because it ain't going to last forever. One more thing, and this just kind of came to me listening to Legend the last couple of days. You know, he's kind of like that character from All in the Family, Archie Bunker, except he doesn't have the warm quality that Archie would manifest when Edith would poke him. And I think about that some. That tension is one of the reasons you have such a great audience. Because if everybody made perfect sense and was polite, who the hell would care about listening?
No, you're right. It's
the outrageous, stupid behavior of some of your favorite callers that set you apart, Paul, and let's hope they keep it up. I don't really give a damn what anybody thinks about it.
Thanks, Hugh. Appreciate it. And speaking of that, in a couple of minutes, we're going to play a clip. We don't do this very often, but the Brad Legend conflict on Tuesday made the number one sports show in Boston the next day. And then the Legend call yesterday made it as well as today. So we're going to recapture a famous talk show in Boston in a few minutes that has apparently found us down here in the Deep South. And we will let you hear what others are saying about us in just a couple of minutes. Daryl is up next in Georgia. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, Paul. First, I want to make a point, okay? I thought about this. If you're going back looking at Georgia this year, we opened a season against number 3 Clemson. They gave up 0 touchdowns. We played number 2 Michigan in the Orange Bowl. The defense gave up 1 touchdown. We played Alabama for the national championship game. The defense gave up 1 touchdown. In all 3 of those games, the defense also scored 2 touchdowns. That is an amazing stat to me. And that was just what that last caller was just talking about. Look here, Nick Saban is 70, Kirby Smart is 46. And Nick Saban's first 6 years, national championship games, 0. Kirby Smart's first 6 years, 2 national championship games, 1 win. I'm going to predict right now, if Kirby Smart stays at Georgia for the next 24 years, he will pass Nick Saban and Bear Bryant for the most national championship titles. Now I want to make a comment to your boy Legend, okay? Legend, you need to listen to me and listen good, dude, okay? Open your ears and shut your pie hole, all right? It's best to keep your mouth closed and let the rest of the world think you're an idiot than to come on here like he did yesterday and open it and remove all doubt. I mean, Paul, he comes on here and he claims he's some football genius. Yeah, he's so smart, okay? You know so much, Legend, that you were the one that came on here and said, oh, Georgia will never win a national championship, will never beat Alabama with Stetson Bennett as the quarterback. I mean, give me a break, dude. I would bet my next paycheck, okay, if I gave an Alabama, the history of the Alabama football program, I gave a test to you, Paul, and to Legend, there is no doubt in my mind you would make a better score, and probably would make a better score to anybody outside of maybe Cecil Hurd, okay? I mean, so he comes in here. Here's the deal, okay? Here's the difference between me and you, Legend. When you go out, okay, and people find out you're the fine bomb caller, you probably stick your chest out and boast. I run and hide, all right? I got a sister that, Paul, you might be able to tell me how to fix this. I got a sister that has a problem. Every time we go out, she wants everybody to know for some reason. And I tell her, don't be telling people that. Do not be telling people. That is not something that I'm proud of. But let me tell you why. Because I went back and listened to some of my calls, and I did sound like an idiot. You know what I mean? I mean, absolutely, I was embarrassed. I mean, good Lord. But I finally figured out how, you know, Paul is a master at what he does, all right? I was able to see the trees through the forest. That's something you need to do, Legend, because, when you come here like you did yesterday, all you do is make people think, you know, why do you even care what they think about it anyway? You try to be some tough guy, but, I mean, and to be so tough, boy, you sure do get your feelings hurt real easy. I mean, good Lord, dude, give it a break. I mean, it ain't, you know, I mean, Paul, you build them up, and when they fall, they don't know how to fall, and that's what the problem is right there. That is exactly what the problem is. But the way he, and I tell you something else different between me and you, Legend, when Alabama beat Georgia in the SEC title game, I said Georgia got beat because they got out-executed and they got outplayed. I didn't go making a bunch of excuses, calling Georgia the Colorado Buffaloes. I would love to see you say that to Jordan Davis, okay? I would love to. You're such a big, tough guy. But good Lord. And two more things for you real quick, Paul. if they ever have a Jim Rome movie, they ought to get Stetson Bennett to play the part. Okay, he looks just like Jim Rome. And one more thing, you work at ESPN. I think this is a great idea. You need to pitch this. A 30-30 for Stetson Bennett, I think, would be big time. It's well deserved. It's a great story. And other than that, go Dawgs.
Great to hear from you, Daryl. Let's check in with Thomas in West Virginia. Hey, Thomas.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Hope you're well today, sir.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment. I'm going to bring up this game I call patience. And there's a biblical character we know as Job. Well, I want to tell you, if I was watching a game of patience and you went up against him in this game, I would take you and I would have to spot Mr. Job about 35 points.
I've never been in a battle against Job before. Now, would I have enough patience
Bob,
to deal with him,
thank
though?
Thank you again for a great show and
thank
how
you.
Much I've enjoyed it.
Thank you, Thomas. I appreciate it. The patience of Job. Biblical memories that you will learn right here. We'll take a break. We'll come back and play that cut from Boston Radio. Legend might want to turn the radio down. I don't think he'll be able to handle this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. We get talked about in many forums around the country. We don't get a chance to replay some of them. And some of the clip we're about to play, we did have to clean up a little bit. But this morning on Boston Radio, the number one show, Toucher and Rich, sounded like this. Somebody sent me this link today. There's a famous talk show up in Boston. Was it Tuchin and Rich? Tuchin and Rich. They replayed the legend call and literally made fun of both these guys for 15 minutes this morning. And, you know, when...
I believe it. Man, I'll tell you what.
How about that?
I feel like we've made it now.
Wow.
I don't understand the idea that I made my name easier to pronounce.
And they still got it wrong.
Still did not get
I'll take whatever I can get from Paul Feinbaum.
Fantastic.
I feel like we've made it.
All
but right.
Yes, absolutely.
Fred.
Someone sent him the tape. A legendary show in Boston. Well, he just had legend on the mind because legend.
Right. But I will. But that apparently, according to Mike, because I actually heard that. I went back and I saw that. I was like, "Hey, you're talking about us."
Anyway, that was an abridged version. If you want to listen to what they really said about legend, you can go to their Twitter page or their most of it. We really couldn't play because we didn't want to upset the artist. Known as legend. The battle that they played the day before was with Brad. They played the Brad legend call and talked about it for about 30 minutes. Brad, you remember that call?
I do remember that, Paul. And that is that's a wasp nest that you threw stones at, man.
Yes.
Yeah, I figured I had good jokes for him, but I figured I'd get to say my piece, and then he would come on. I wasn't ready, so I was a little rattled.
he is an East Coast gangster.
Hey, this is what I want to say. Y'all ease up off a legend. He makes his show. I kind of like him. He's got a lot of character, and everybody knows he's
well. I
he's
got bad news for you, Brad. Somebody sent me one of his tweets from last night and said that he's leaving the show. He's gone into the portal.
No, he won't. He ain't, because Alabama's going to be real good next year. But he started that too. I mean, I called to try to get you barking, and then you diverted and kicked over an anthill, and then my daughter told me that it was on YouTube and got like 10,000 views or something crazy.
Yeah, that's really the fascinating part of all these conversations. I was looking around today and I saw that clip on YouTube, and it was
it is funny.
It was getting a lot of right. Hey, Brad, thanks so much for the entertainment. Let's go to Lee in North Carolina. Hello, Lee.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are doing great.
First, I just wanted to thank you for all that you do, for being the face and voice of the best college football conference in the nation. I am a long-time, lifetime Georgia fan. My grandfather attended the University of Georgia on the GI Bill after serving in World War II, and he and my dad and uncles were there in 1980. I am in that age group to where I'm too young to remember Herschel Walker, even though I was there to watch him play in 1982, but I'm old enough to remember the Goff era and Greg Talley, Hines Ward being so versatile. I think he even drove the bus to some games, and I am just on cloud nine with them winning the national championship. I have 100% respect for Nick Saban at Alabama. And I am so glad that Kirby beat Alabama in the national championship.
Well, thank you very much. It's a long time coming. Todd is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Todd.
How are you doing, Paul?
We're doing great, Todd.
Thanks for taking my call. I've got a question. I hate to get off topic. I like to talk about college basketball and these cheaters, Will Wade, Bruce Pearl, and Kelvin Sampson. How do they get away with all this stuff that they do? And then for all these critics about Coach Cal saying he did that, how is Will Wade even coaching? Paul, can you answer me that?
Well, the fact is that the NCAA has not yet even filed charges against LSU. That doesn't mean they won't. In the Bruce Pearl case, the NCAA did investigate, and it came out with minimal charges against the university. Bruce Pearl, I believe, sat out two games. So I think those are the facts. You can say whatever you want to about the NCAA, but they are the ruling and governing body of college sports, and in their eyes, Bruce Pearl is certainly capable and legal to be coaching right now. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with Mike, who is in Birmingham. Hey, Mike.
How you doing, Paul? Roll Tide anyhow. Congratulations to Georgia Bulldogs and Coach Kirby Smart winning their first national championship over 40 years. Job well done, Kirby Smart. One of two former head coaches, since Nick Saban to defeat him this season, the other was Jimbo Fisher. Paul, let me ask this question. You know, when Jameson Williams went down with a knee injury, the offensive coordinator should have made some better readjustments. We had a couple of receivers with no experience at all. He should have done this. He didn't throw more passes to Brooks. He should throw more passes to Brooks.
Well, and Mike, the bottom line was that Bryce Young did not have a receiver capable of not only catching his passes, but being able to get around the Georgia defense. That was the problem. The Georgia defense was a big issue in that game. They were elite, the best in the country. Trey is up next.
How are you, my friend?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, did you just tell me that Legend's in the transfer portal? Did I just hear you say
Legend,
that?
Legend announced on Twitter that he had quit the show and was going to another show. And I want to say this, Trey. You ever seen when a company lets somebody go, you know, they issue a statement saying, you know, we appreciate Mr. Feinbaum's contributions to ESPN over these last 9 years. We wish him well in his future endeavors. That's how we
yes,
feel
sir,
about
I have.
That.
Well, I want to ask you, did he join Jim from Tuscaloosa? Is that where he's going?
Yeah, since they are both better than anything that happens here, they're going to have their own talk show, and I hope they do well because, they will easily be able to take us down.
Well, Paul, it's kind of par for the course. As many those players are leaving, I guess they just going with that with those players too, Paul. What do you think?
Have you ever noticed it's only the – it's yeah, I mean, I'm all in favor of young people. Well, in Jim's case, I probably shouldn't say that. But of a different generation, whether it's older than me or younger than me, which is the case in Legend, of trying to – you know, go out on their own and fulfill their dreams.
Well, that's not the reason I called. Hey, Paul, would you agree that the two best teams did play in the championship despite Alabama's struggles this year?
No, of course.
And the best team all year, the best team won the national championship.
The best team
and I don't
was
have
easily Georgia. Alabama was only the best team in the country one day this year. I mean, that was it.
I'm an Alabama fan. I'm not disagreeing with it, but I don't call in and act like an idiot or
Trey,
nut.
But you have to understand. But you're a reasonable person. You're not trying to be something you're not. And
well, Paul was a coach and an official for 40 years
too.
I did basketball, but
Alabama was incredibly lucky to be in the playoffs because
I agree with you.
They almost lost to Florida. They should have lost to Auburn. They came close to losing to LSU. And, you know, how they did it on that one day, I don't know. But, you know, the difference between, Trey, you and most people is you don't wear you love your university, but you don't wrap yourself up in it and wear it as a badge of your manhood. Some people do, and that's why they are being embarrassed this week. Let's check in with Deb, who is up next. Hello, Deb. Go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. Deb from Florida. I'm a huge Georgia fan and UCF fan. And I wanted to comment on a caller yesterday, Mary from Birmingham.
Right.
That, I love her sentiment about how fabulous the Sabans are for doing a Habitat for Humanity house when they have a win. However, had a $9 million contract and a $600,000 bonus, plus endorsements, I think the Sabans should still do a house. So just wanted to comment.
Mary, it came off like, wow, I can't believe, you know, now that Alabama's lost, somebody's going to go homeless. That's not really the case.
No, but that was her point. That's why she wanted Alabama to win,
House. By the way, let me say this. The Sabans and many other people have done a lot of really good things. They have gotten more attention than others.
Absolutely.
But there's not a coach in the SEC or anywhere for that matter who doesn't spend a lot of time trying to help less fortunate. That's part of the responsibility of being in public life. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. They just don't have game day features done on them like other people. We'll take a break. We have a long way to go here today. We hope you'll stick around. Stephen M. Smith, who has been extolling how great the Tide has been, how is he handling the defeat? We'll find out.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome you back. We'll talk to Pete Thamel coming up here a little bit later, joining ESPN as of today as their college football insider. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's welcome in Stephen M. Smith from Touchdown, Alabama. Stephen M., good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you feeling?
We are feeling great. I'm more concerned about you. When the Tide lost the other night, I was deeply concerned, so it's taken us a couple of days to track you down, but are you coping okay with this defeat?
I'm coping quite fine, Paul. I mean, I know getting on the plane and going from Indianapolis to D.C., and then the D.C. to Birmingham, that was quite interesting, but coping fine. I appreciate it.
That is a circuitous path back to Tuscaloosa. So let's just get your assessment of the season and what happened Monday night.
Well, of the season, it was going to be a crazy season, Paul, going in, especially when you discuss the losses Alabama had offensively. I mean, you lose a first round pick quarterback, a first round pick running back. You know, two first-round pick wide receivers, you know, 3 to 4 offensive linemen that were really, really good, and then some guys on defense as well. So we knew, especially offensively, it was going to be a different type of year. But you definitely got to give the guys credit for and the team credit for how they were able to kind of overachieve, if you will. I kind of compare this team to the 2014 Alabama team where you had a new offensive coordinator in Lane Kiffin. You know, very few people gave Blake Sims a chance to be the starting quarterback in 2014, and he carried a group that did not have much in the cupboard to the college football playoff. Yes, it lost to Ohio State and Ezekiel Elliott and the group coached by Urban Meyer, but that was a 2014 team that not many people gave a lot of chances to get to that point. So this group overachieved, and then the national championship game, that was just Alabama not being able to take advantage of opportunities in the red zone. You got to give Georgia credit. Kirby's smart, and I say it this. Kirby has always had the talent. The guys were there. It's the belief there that they could beat Coach Saban, that they could beat Alabama. And on Monday night, you finally saw that belief rise to the center stage when, you know, guys make big plays defensively. Stetson Bennett made some throws that – he had to make.
Yeah, Stephen, but let me move forward because we, you know, in terms of the future, I think it's a safe assumption that both programs are in good shape. But what is going to be different next year at Alabama?
What's going to be different is going to be how many people come back and return and not take the road to the NFL draft. You got some guys draft eligible. Some have declared. We'll see if some decide to come back. I think different is going to be the offensive line with losing Evan Neal. Can you get 5 guys to gel well and have that chemistry on that offensive line?
In terms of other key factors, this staff was – we saw a new offensive coordinator at Alabama. Pete Golding remained. Bill O'Brien is interviewing for many jobs. There's speculation that Mario Cristobal may be trying to woo some of the defensive coaches, including – Golding, what do you think this staff is going to look like in a couple of weeks?
It starts off to see, does Bill O'Brien sign with a couple of these NFL teams that are offering him? If he does, to replace him, I could see a Joe Brady on that short list of coaches, possibly maybe a Dan Mullen in an analyst role or an offensive coordinator role. We'll see. In terms of Pete Golding, I think he's actually done a pretty good job. Now, if he does end up going, could Nick Saban make a call to Jimmy Maik, who was at Washington at one point in time? That could be an option. Joe Judge got fired from the New York Giants. Could we see a Jeremy Pruitt return to Alabama? That could be an option. So we'll just see how these pieces fall.
But you would expect some significant turnover, or would you?
The only one I could see right now would be O'Brien, due to he's already interviewing for jobs. But you could see a Pete Golding if somebody was to offer him. But right now, the only one I see concretely would be Bill O'Brien.
Stephen M., Nick Saban at 70 seems to be cranking along pretty well. How do you view the future for Nick Saban?
I think this loss fuels him for the spring, Paul. I think he's going to be full of energy going into spring ball. And I think this upcoming spring is going to be very exciting to see him get back to wanting that physicality on both sides of the ball, especially after the way Alabama lost to Texas A&M and Georgia, getting back to being that physical team on both aspects.
Quarterback-wise, we know who that will be, but you know the big issue Monday night was the wide receiver position. There's a lot of talented young guys. Who's going to step up next year and play the key roles?
If John Metchie decides to come back, I would put him in there, but I think he's going to go to the draft. So you would look at Trayshawn Holden. You look at Ja'Cory Brooks, a J.I. Hall who got an opportunity in the championship game. You look at him, Christian Leary. You look at him. And then Alabama also signed some freshmen for this 2022 class. You look at some of those guys, but definitely Leary, Brooks, Hall, Trayshawn Holden, those couple of few guys, definitely.
Stephen M. Smith from Touchdown Alabama, a quick look at what the Tide looks like next year. Thanks so much, Stephen M. We are heading to the break. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Johnny is up next. We continue here. Good afternoon, Johnny.
Good afternoon. Just want to let you know I've followed your career from your days in the newspaper, and I've always respected your opinions. And even though I knew you were a Tennessee grad, you've usually laid it to it straight, and I appreciated that.
Thank you very much.
But I thought a little bit that it was disingenuous to say that Jameson Williams' injury did not affect the outcome of the ball game when he was in the game and when he played the previous time. The Georgia defense really, they couldn't cover him. And they really, when he left the game, even Curb Street says, Lanning goes to all the players one side of the game, there's no reason not now. And they had to respect his speed and they had to respect his talent for his ability to get behind them. And when he was out of the game, it wasn't just he was out of the game. It was he and Metchie were out of the game. And that was 200 pass receptions, not on the field, that was on the field in the previous game. And, yes, Georgia won fair and square, and injuries are part of the game. And I really hate to see a kid go down on artificial turf without contact. It happens a lot. But really, truly, for us to say that Georgia beat an Alabama team that was the Alabama team that they beat them 37 days ago, it's not right, and it's not true. They beat the Alabama team that was on the field,
Johnny,
and that's
fair. Let me say you're right on every account, but it really doesn't make a bit of a difference because it's part of the game, and, I hated that he went out. Do I think Alabama could have won with him? I don't know. It doesn't matter. They lost.
Because he won. I get it. But and truly, and like I said, but it's always rankled me a little bit when injuries are part of it. And football is a violent sport. And so, yes, it is. But it's always rankled me when, even when we've done it, it's like you just say, oh, well, they beat somebody. But if you had to put the teams on the field full strength against full strength, or like they were 37 days ago, I do not believe that Georgia would have won the ball game. They did win it because of the team that was there. And the young kids that drop passes, and they'll learn from it. And Bama will be a more experienced football team going into the spring and into the next season.
But Johnny, Alabama had 37 days to prepare without Metchie.
But not without weeds.
Well, okay, listen, I appreciate what you said, and I really don't care, because that is just part of football. It's part of everything. And Georgia had plenty of players who were hurt. Alabama probably was in worse shape, but it's still Alabama. It's not like Cincinnati, where they lose one of their top corners or their quarterback and they have no chance. I mean, this is the University of Alabama that recruits at the highest level. And Jameson Williams was a transfer, by the way. I mean, it wasn't like that was something that Alabama planned on a couple of years ago. They benefited by getting him. But you know, you just can't. You can make any argument you want, and it still doesn't matter because the game is over and Alabama lost. And I don't know why that is so difficult to accept. I really don't. Let's continue with more calls here at 855-242-7285. And Mike is up next. Hey, Mike.
How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
If it wasn't for you and your show and the SEC Network, I wouldn't even watch football. Anyway, I'm Mike from Kentucky, and I'm being held captive here. I was born in Jasper, Alabama, so you know where my allegiances lie.
I do.
But, hey, Kentucky had a good season, 10-3, not
they
bad.
Sure did.
Stoops is doing okay. The reason I called, first of all, to congratulate Georgia on a fine game. You know, you're handed the cards you're dealt, and you play them the best way you can. And, you know, that puts this season in the rearview mirror. Having said that, my question now is all these vacancies and head coaching jobs in the NFL, how do you think that's going to affect some of the coaches in the SEC in particular?
I don't think it's going to have much effect at all. The NFL has become a very narrow coaching hiring situation where mostly you're seeing coordinators bounce around from job to job. You're not seeing the Urban Meyer type of hires or the Nick Sabans from yesteryear, Spurrier. It's become a system-oriented league, and that's really what I'm hearing right now, mainly former coaches. But by the way, I think Stephen M. said one thing that you need to keep your eye on, though, and that's Joe Judge. He is highly thought of by Nick Saban, and don't be surprised to see him end up in some position. He was a Giants coach at Alabama. I-Man is up next. Hey, I-Man, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I was listening to the guy on the cell phone a little while ago, and he's talking about Alabama lost a couple players. It's not the same team that beat the living daylight side of them, but isn't that the same Alabama team that Auburn pushed around the entire game?
Yeah, and by the way, Mechie and Williams were in that game. And by the way, Alabama had the Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback. They lost to a walk-on.
But in the Auburn game, that's the same team that Auburn faced as the team that beat Georgia. And Auburn pushed them all over the place.
Yeah, those two
and
guys,
Auburn
those
is
two
the
guys
epitome
the,
of rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mean to be surly with the guy, but it's too late to use Williams as your. I mean, it's too bad, but that happens. Okay, it's too bad. Colt McCoy got hurt 11 years ago, but he did.
They're not ever going to accept the fact that it doesn't matter what anybody's done in 40 years, 60 years, or 80 years. It matters what took place Monday night, and Monday night Georgia whooped that ass. Now, Paul,
I mean, the worst
with
part
you.
Of it, with each day that goes by, it matters less.
That's right. And let me ask you something, Paul. I know there'll be a wake or something, you know, Legend and Jim leaving the show, and we're going to have a wake, and we'll invite everybody, and some people will bring fried chicken. Do I bring tater salad again this year? Because
yeah.
They both quit numerous times.
Well,
and let me say this. We've been hearing about, oh, they radio gangsters. Now, Paul, have I ever come on here and tried to intimidate anybody? But I've heard the intimidators come on. They're self-professed murderers, OGs, gangsters, and all this other kind of crap. They talk sideways with a slur, and they're the ones that try to intimidate.
Well,
but the funny thing about that is they're not intimidating.
No, and I may have incorrectly said something to Legend yesterday that I didn't mean that Legend made this show, but I guess I've heard Jim say that before, not Legend. Legend's always had a very healthy attitude toward what this show has done for him, and I appreciate that. But what troubles me about Legend is when he goes gangster, his character is often revealed, I-Man, and that character is
exactly who he is. He puts on charades. You heard exactly who the numbskull is.
Yeah.
He has stalked himself out of every position that everybody has bent over backwards to try to help the dude, and he just won't shut the hell up. And as far as anybody making the show, it's got your name on the show. It doesn't have my name, anybody else's name. It says Paul Feinbaum, and that's it. Period. In the sentence.
Tell me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think there's this sounds self-serving, but I'll say it anyway. I have always, always credited the callers to this show for making it what it is. It's not me. It's not the ESPN guests that come in here every day. It is the callers. I said that during the Roll Tide War Eagle documentary. I've said it in books. I've said it in interviews. That's what I believe. And as long as this show is on the air, that is going to be my philosophy. If they take us off today, it's still going to be my philosophy.